Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and at every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is, I guess, 6:30 on Mountainside, where Ken is, we do a radio show called Count on the Truth on Building Fortunes Radio. So the way this whole thing got started, Ken's a customer of ours over on the PM marketing side, and we've been doing radio shows for a very long time. Matter of fact, Ken and I did a few radio shows previously. And when he started doing something with a company, we said, you know, let's do something that's kind of unique, something that kind of sets you aside from everybody else so you're, you know, unique as far as that. And we built a website that it's easy to post to and where he can list a whole bunch of really cool things. We had, of course, come up with a domain name. And as we were speaking about a whole bunch of things, we were talking about censorship and misinformation and a little bit of my frustration of where do you go to do some research? Like, where do you go to get your information? And it kind of led us to the domain name called CountOnTheTruth.com. So if you're looking to build a home-based business or you're looking to make extra money or you're looking for a safe way to be able to maybe save on taxes, you know, retire early, maybe raise your own kids, all that sort of stuff, you probably need trusted sources to be able to bounce some ideas off of and get some good information from. And Ken Nielsen is certainly one of those individuals. So if you are looking, make sure you go to CountOnTheTruth.com. No trick spellings in there. It's just CountOnTheTruth.com. But when we were doing this, we said, let's do a couple radio shows on this because there's a lot of really great information. If you're listening in, you could hear how Ken and I sling some sentences together. And if you're, you know, we're the type of people you want to work with, you know, the right mindset, then definitely catch up with Ken. And when you do that, you'll be able to find, you know, maybe the right home-based business for you. But we do this every Tuesday, like I mentioned. If you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/countonthetruth, you'll be able to hear this again or look on the guest page and look for Ken Nielsen. You'll see some links to different websites that he has on there as well. So, Ken, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hello, Peter. Yeah, great to be here again. And I'm going to just have a little bit of fun here right off the bat. Been talking to a bunch of people about this time change, and I'm really surprised at how grumpy these people are that they have to change their clocks, and they're all complaining about losing an hour and not getting enough sleep, et cetera, et cetera. And I just kind of wanted to throw that out real quick. I'm wondering kind of what your perspective is on that. Are you happy with daylight savings time, or would you rather remain on the old time standard?
Well, I am the type of person where I'll do whatever it takes to keep it lighter longer because I just like lighter longer. So I like it on this side of daylight savings time because we get that extra hour of daylight. But it gets me kind of depressed when it's the other way around. And, you know, we have different people here from different areas. I've lived in both the northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere. And I'll share with you down here in Florida, which is like way south, versus New York, where I grew up. I remember when I would visit my parents up in New York, you know, after we were down here in Florida for a while, that it was noticeably darker earlier, period. And then you add daylight savings time the other way around, and it was depressing. I mean, it started getting dark at 4 o'clock, it felt like. So down here in the southern states, it's not as bad as it is up there in the northern places, like where you are and some other people maybe as well. But I am definitely, I wish they would just leave it alone. I wish they would just leave it alone. And I have to share this. There was a time, and this is for the techie guys around, there was a time where for whatever reason, the politicians here in the United States decided to change the date of daylight savings time, and all the computer programs were set up to have a certain date, and they would automatically roll whenever they were supposed to, and they were preset, but politicians made decisions, as they usually do without knowing much, about the topic they're making decisions on, and they really screwed it up for about 3 weeks. So there was a lot of times where older computers were not in sync with the politician's derivation of daylight savings time. So I just remember that. And it's like, you know, these people are crazy. So, but I am a whatever it takes to keep it lighter, longer kind of a guy. Now, as far as time frame, only because I manage my own time, it doesn't affect me the same way as it might other people. But if I was on the like habitual thing where I had to get up at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever it was, it really used to mess me up. And I was kind of glad they did it over on a Saturday night into a Sunday morning. But it really kind of messes you up for about a week or two. So yeah. For those people that are kind of plugged in, yeah, there you go.
No, very good. I appreciate your feedback. Yeah, I'm just kind of surprised at how many of them there were, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out here going the next couple of weeks. Like you said, it takes a little bit of time to make the adjustment. The other thing I'm wondering, if you get the news from way up north out of Alaska, I don't know if you've ever had any interest in the race. It's called the Iditarod, and there's a big thing going on right now because the gentleman that's won it 5 times, and it's his 13th race, encountered a moose, and the moose interfered with his dog sled team, so he had to kill the moose, and then they have to gut it and skin it and all that kind of stuff and preserve the meat if something like that happens. And so I think they penalized him 2 hours, but he's back in the lead, so he's got a chance to win his 6th Iditarod. But it reminded me of a saying, and they always they tell us, they go, there's always an old saying that says, if you're not the lead dog, the view is always the same. And I kind of got a kick out of that because it kind of reminded me of some of the things that goes on with the folks working regular jobs and having to do what their supervisor tell them or what they know they're supposed to do. And it seems like your view is always the same. You're looking at the wrong people at the wrong time, and you kind of wish that it could be different. And it's like I tell them, I say, you know, it can be different with technology and everything that's going on today. The best way to predict the future is to create it. And look at all the people that have come and made your life more simpler, and some of the things that go on, and the claims that were made that said it couldn't be done. And I'll just give a few examples here and kind of let you throw in a couple of things here, because I know that you're very familiar with what I'm referring to. We, of course, got Steve Jobs of Apple, and he's got the computer you hold in your hand. Most people know as the iPhones. You've got Bill Gates with Microsoft. Fred Smith with FedEx gave him a C for his idea in college, said it could never work. You could never deliver packages in that overnight. Impossible. Jeff Bezos with Amazon. Ray Kroc himself with McDonald's. One of his famous quotes is, he says, the three most important requirements for major success are, first, being in the right place at the right time, two, knowing you are there, and three, you've got to take action. You've got to do something about it. And it seems like a lot of people might get to one and two, but number three, they never really take action to do anything about it. And I don't think people realize that Warren Buffett actually owns 3 network marketing companies. And I know that you had mentioned one while we were talking, the Pampered Chef, and a couple others. But he made a remark on one of his webinars and call-ins when he was talking to a bunch of people, because it seems like he's always talking about the stock market and how to get started there and investing your money in that. But he said the reason that he owned these 3 network marketing companies is because the people that are there want to be there. They're forward-thinking. They're very ambitious. And he goes, that just seems like the thing that you would do if you're going to take lead on some of these things out there, is you want those types of people, because it's persistence that really makes the world go around. And there's a few other quotes that I could throw in there, but pretty impressive when you got a billionaire that's willing to come up with that kind of concept and say that it's important enough to him also that he's actually going to own 3 of these companies. So the other side of it too there, Peter, is I know that we were talking about McDonald's a couple of radio shows ago, and you had mentioned that you were right down the road from McDonald's University. And that has just been absolutely fun stuff. I tease some of the people that I know, because they're getting ready to switch jobs. They want to change jobs. And I said, well, you need to go do some management work at McDonald's, and they'll send you to McDonald's University, and they think I'm joking with them. And I says, I have the perfect connection. I know a gentleman that actually taught at the University of Chicago at Illinois. He actually was one of the first people to teach about network marketing, the home-based business industry, and he actually knows, he can actually give you directions to McDonald's University. So I thought maybe you could elaborate just a little bit more on what you know about McDonald's University.
Sure. Well, McDonald's is obviously a franchise, and the key to franchising is the systems that they put in place. And regardless of how much money you have, if you're going to buy something like a McDonald's franchise, which used to be like $1 million, now it's way more than that. You have to have like 2 or 3 years worth of working capital in the bank before you're even allowed to buy one. And most people buy many. But for McDonald's, you had to learn the systems. And there's a certain reason why when you go into a McDonald's, sometimes they cosmetically might look a little bit different, but the fry machine is always in the one place and the shake machine is always in another place. And there's a system in place because how in the world are you going to be able to build a multi-billion dollar business off of teenagers who won't clean their room? So you have to have these things in place. So they made McDonald's University. One of the first McDonald's that was ever built was in Des Plaines. They call it Des Plaines, Illinois.
Okay.
And it's still there. And in Oak Brook, there was a facility. Oak Brook's kind of like a nice place. They have the Oak Brook Mall, which is a ritzy place for those people that are familiar with Chicago. So it's kind of west of the city. But they built in a very large, you know, kind of industrial complex, but they have it really nice looking. It's not like cement. It's all really, really well done. Very well landscaped. Could be like a golf course. But it's right across the street from 1010 Jory Boulevard in Oak Brook. Jory was the name of the person. I think it was Jory was the daughter of the name of the guy that built the complex across the street from the McDonald's University. And the reason why I know that is because I ran a P.F. Collier's office at 1010 Jury Boulevard. And I said it so many times, that's why the only reason why I can remember it. But if you walked right across the street, you'd be hitting McDonald's University. And they had, literally, a McDonald's kitchen for experimental purposes. This is where the chefs would go and actually practice in the McDonald's kitchen. And then they had a McDonald's, almost like an auditorium stadium kind of thing where people would go for lectures, then individual classrooms and all that sort of stuff. And they had a museum, if you will, so you could see the original malt mixer that happened. And this is worth a story for those people that are unfamiliar with McDonald's. McDonald's was started not by the McDonald's brothers. McDonald's was started by Roy Kroc. And Roy Kroc sold malt mix makers. And they had a multi-malt mix makers, like it would make multiple milkshakes, if you will, at one time. And there were brothers over in California, the McDonald's brothers, who bought several of these malt shake makers. And Roy Kroc wanted to know, what the hell are you doing with several? Most people barely use one. And he actually flew out, saw the McDonald's restaurant that they had, and said, we're going to franchise this. Now, this was franchising before there was a word franchising. We're going to duplicate this, and we're going to make you guys rich. So it was the creative insight of a builder, someone that saw an opportunity and said, wait a minute, I'm just not going to observe that. I'm going to go investigate that. So it was that investigative guy that actually started that whole thing. And if you've ever watched anything about Roy Kroc and the McDonald's thing, it was a combination of a lot of different things. But he was aggressive, super-duper greedy, not necessarily had the most integrity out there, if you know anything about Roy Kroc and his story. So he kind of did whatever he could to make sure he got straight to the top. And in spite of any of all of that, McDonald's is obviously one of the most successful franchises. But the thing that is probably the things that I just want to talk about relative to franchising is just think about it. They built a multi-billion dollar company based on kids teenagers mostly, working for almost minimum wage, that you could probably not be able to get to clean their own room, that were able to build that. And that was because of tools and systems and all of that sort of stuff that's in place. And just think about what you can do with MLM, because you're not 16. You probably know how to make your own bed, whether you do or you don't. But you probably have a lot more resources than those, you know, teenagers were doing working at minimum wage. So just think about what you might be able to do globally by working the right network marketing company with the right people. But the franchising is the essence of that duplication and that same method, and don't change things. Now, by the way, if you're a McDonald's store owner and you decide that, you know what, I want to sell donuts, and then I have my wife and she makes really good cookies, and maybe you have somebody that makes really great, you know, some kind of whatever, turkey fillets, they'll kick you out. I mean, you'll lose your franchise. If you are creative in the McDonald's franchise business, because they have their own systems that are in place. The other thing that's somewhat important relative to McDonald's is McDonald's is also a real estate company as well, because they own their own buildings, and sometimes they own not only their own buildings, but they own their own stuff. So McDonald's is a real estate company. McDonald's is a tools company. McDonald's is a supply company. In addition to the royalties, McDonald's is a perfect example of what it's like to make money in the business selling hamburgers, and on the business, meaning making money through their other ways that they make money, meaning through their franchisees, through the other things, and just a wonderful business model that was almost ruled out as being illegal when it first got started. It threatened regular businesses, and they tried to get McDonald's, as far as a franchise and franchising in general, shut down as being illegal. Interesting stories.
Oh, very insightful. Excellent explanation with all the extras in there that you provided. And, just fascinating. So that's, I appreciate your time on that, because that's if people looking on the outside in, I don't think they understand all the, especially at the end of your explanation there, some of the things, like it actually has to do with real estate, owning their own buildings and property in certain places. And they know how important it is, how where to put the McDonald's, where you have so much traffic and the availability for people to just be able to drive in there and get their lunch, their dinner, whatever it is that they're looking for, snacks, onward. But very insightful, and that's, that's some good information. I
Bill
definitely
Gates,
wouldn't have been able
Bill
to do
Gates.
That as quick as you did it. So.
Bill Gates makes most of the French fries, or makes most of the potatoes that are used by McDonald's. So it's very interesting. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's crazy how the world is connected.
Oh, that's really crazy, because, in fact, one of the programs, one of the younger guys that I had do some of my website work, he actually does some of the ordering and makes sure that the computers work for where the potatoes are actually farmed, harvested, get into the system, are sent to where that they break them down, and they end up in the McDonald's stores, the franchises, the restaurants. And another connection that I had no clue, but that's kind of what he did. Some of the hours he spends making sure that that's always in line and doing what it's supposed to do is just it would amaze you if you've seen his lifestyle. And I get a kick out of it, because he goes, "Oh, I've got one of the greatest jobs in the world." I don't think his wife thinks that, but as long as he thinks that, I guess he'll be okay, and the money's got to be good enough to keep him there. So very fascinating how it's all put together. I didn't know if you needed to take a break here for the second, and
yep.
Then we come back and
we'll
kind of carry
yep.
on from there.
We'll take a little commercial break. You're listening to Ken Nielsen on Count on the Truth Radio Show.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.NetworkLeads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blog, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we're back. Peter Mingles here with Ken Nielsen. And Ken, while we were talking, I took the liberty of going to Gemini.Google.com, which is Google's artificial intelligence, and I asked it the question about Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's company, and I said, you know, what MLM company do they own? And there's really one direct selling company, and that's Pampered Chef. And it says it was acquired in 2002. Pampered Chef is the largest direct seller of kitchen tools and products in the United States. So that just shows you the power of direct selling and MLM. Some consider it an MLM, some consider it direct selling, but the reality is that it's one of the largest companies out there, so run by one of the most successful, obviously, stock companies in the world.
Yeah, we actually have somebody that has a vehicle, a really nice vehicle, and they've got it's actually been coordinated to look very nice, and it has Pampered Chef in the rear window, and that's got numbers on the side. In other words, it's a moving billboard. And the gal that drives it around, I'm sure that she gets different questions asked to her all the time. But, I mean, I was even curious enough to kind of know what Pampered Chef was at one time. And
As a little bit of trivia, you know the critter cam that I showed you?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that you see is a casserole from Pampered Chef.
Oh.
Probably the most expensive raccoon feeder on the planet. But it's so – my wife never used it, and it's so big and it's so heavy, and I needed something. I said, I need something that's not going to break or crack. And I looked on the bottom of it, and I said, well, this is not a good use of Pampered Chef, which is probably pretty expensive, but it's going to work for me anyway.
Small world. That's amazing.
Small world.
I don't know if it's too big to use it as a frisbee or not, but I guess found a use for it. So.
Well built.
Yeah.
Cold water. Wow.
Yeah. Well, and I tell you, you know, like Ray Kroc says, you know, you got to be in the right place at the right time, and knowing that you're there and take action. And really, right now, I mean, if people actually knew what was going on in the home business industry, man, they would not hesitate at all. And I had to do my homework. I had to say, okay, what's available right now? Had to listen to a whole bunch of presentations. And finally came across somebody where I told myself, wouldn't it be great if there was one company that had everything in place? Because you go to this company, they've got digital products. You go to that company, they're doing health and wellness. You go to another company, and they're like Pampered Chef. You said, I think you said kitchen appliances is mostly what they are. And wouldn't it be great if there was just one thing, a company that had all this stuff in place? Well, guess what? There is. And if you just take a few moments, and like you had mentioned earlier on the show when we got started, if you go to countonthetruth.com, you're going to find out why this company has everything in place. And more importantly, I might add, I would say, is because the compensation plan is crazy wild. Most compensations have limitations, and the gentleman that's put this together, because of his past experience, being he's an entrepreneur in the real world as well as in network marketing, because he realized that the product that he made, and there's a video that explains, I'll just give kind of a heads up, he is one of the people that invented I call it the styrofoam, it was called the free flight glider, and wherever you went, to kiosks, to malls, to different major stores. It was in a package, and you would put these two wings into the fuselage and then the stabilizer on the tail. And you see guys throwing it in the stores, doing loops, and out on the beach just having a good time goofing around with it. And we actually, with my friends, when we started to fly radio-controlled gliders, we actually would hollow out the fuselage, put the servos in there so that we at least had two surfaces that would be able to control the flight of the glider when we would tow it up with a little tow line. And it was really easy to teach people how to fly because it's so docile and predictable what's going to do. And if you crash it, you really don't hurt it because you just glue it back together. So he was the one that came up with Free Flight Glider. And what he learned from that experience was after so long, the market becomes saturated, and then your sales kind of go away. But it was enough that it turned him into a multimillionaire. And he said, I needed to find something else that people needed on a monthly basis or on a frequent basis so that you could help them continually. And that's where the start of his idea of franchising, and more importantly and even easier, came the idea of network marketing. And so from being an actual distributor to an owner now, it's amazing what he's got going and what he offers to the general public and an individual. Very, very impressive, and something that the audience really needs to take a look at. You'd be shocked, because the compensation plan is actually modeled after another company where a gentleman was a basketball coach. He was making $38,000 a year, but with his network marketing company, he was making $1.1 million a month, and he still holds the record for that particular income. And people are like, what? That's ridiculous. You're saying something to that effect. And I actually was there and got to watch it happen, or I wouldn't believe it myself. But $1.1 million per month in his network marketing company. Well, why are you still coaching? Well, I love the kids. I love the atmosphere. It's just kind of what it's my thing to do. So, and that's kind of why we're here. We're here to help people. And to think that you can do it on such a little investment and create a legacy for yourself and your family and change your life, it's actually mind-boggling at this point. But you'll be pleasantly surprised if you'll just take a little bit of time and go to countonthetruth.com and see what we're talking about. So back on over to you, Peter.
Excellent information. So we'll be back next week. We do this every week. You can go to the buildingforcesradio.com/countonthetruth page and hear the previous radio shows that we've done. And what we try to do is we try to give you some different insights just to kind of stoke your fires of being that entrepreneur and to show you that, you know, you can work with Ken and get the information that you need to be successful, so you'll avoid the pitfalls that some people would run into if they didn't get the right coaching and advice and stuff like that. So he's working with great company that does a whole bunch of really good stuff. So the benefit of the franchise conversation is the safety and the security to realize that a lot of people are doing a lot of the things that you would need to do on your own, where you might be able to make the crucial or tragic mistakes, you know, the ones that are super duper costly, the ones that would usually, you know, shut you out of business. All of those things are probably done by the home office and the other people that are doing things, and people who do the inventing and the, you know, the formulation and all that sort of stuff. They've already smoothened out any kind of challenges that you might have. So you can literally just have fun doing the good stuff that helps get you the profits that you deserve quickly. So you don't have to worry about research and development or infrastructure costs or human resources or all the other expenses. You just get a chance to kind of have fun and make money and help a whole bunch of people, and that's what it's really all about. So check them out, countonthetruth.com, and we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio, and it is lighter, longer. So for all those people that are listening, and you can listen at any time. Thanks, everyone. Okay, bye for now. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, Peter.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.